All right, we are live. Hey, this is the first time we're doing a live Tactical Fitness Report, and I got my partner Jeff Nichols here with me. We are on Tactical Fitness Report. What number is it? 180?
I'm
not sure. It's up there. 188. 188 we've done. Or total. I think you and I've done probably about 100 of them so far.
Probably, yeah.
But anyway, thanks again for your time of doing this. And we'll take some comments and questions at the end. But we got asked a really good question. Maybe I should rephrase that. It's not a really good question. It's just one of those questions that's so common that it requires a little extra attention, or it requires no attention at all. You'll see what I'm talking about. So Jeff, here's the question I got. You know, so could there be something physiological making buds more doable for others, for some than others? Maybe a certain ratio of slow twitch, fast twitch muscle fibers. Could be. Is it 10% physical, 90% mental? What does that even mean? If it's mental, what type of mental training do I need? And, you know, he was nice and said, hey, he appreciates my time in this reply. So, you know, that's a tough one. You know, I have seen people make it through buds that were endurance athletes that got a little stronger. I've seen strength athletes that got a little more endurance. I've seen people that look like they never did an athletic event in their life make it through. You know, so I don't have an answer for is there a requirement for a certain number of fast twitch, slow twitch? I don't know. What's your thought of this one?
Well, I think that I got a couple things on this topic. As like, it's certainly written as a well written question in terms of its formality. Like, it's, you know,
it is very nice.
It is, but I think that the thing that I look at it when I read the question. And I think, like we've said so many times, it's like, if you are properly prepared, it doesn't matter in that sense. Like, so that's like the 30,000 sort of foot, like it takes no attention sort of answer. Like, okay, so because we've said this again, if we actually literally potentially could on some people, like train with them every single day, dissect every bit of their training, create this perfect training program, at the end of the day, that 10% physical, 90% mental stuff, it just doesn't matter, because you have either made a choice, right? A proper choice, a choice to go, and this is something I want to do with my life, and I'm going to follow the steps I need to get there to the best of my ability. Or what it seems to me, a lot of these questions pertaining to something like this are like, well, if I can get the exact answer, then it might be worth my time to try to achieve that or create this or do that. But the reality is that the answer to that question is discovered in training. You know, like, and that's the thing, is like that question of like, well, what is it? What is that? Like, how much fast twitch, slow twitch, mental toughness, 10%, 90%. Well, in good training, you discover what that is for you.
True.
And it's not like, hey, here's the program before you even start training. Here's all the mental skills I want you to try in your training. And at the end, you'll get a person that's ready to train for buds. No, that's not necessarily how it works, because that would be, it's a methodology then. So the way that Stu and I train isn't a method. It's not a methodology. A methodology be like CrossFit, where everyone does the same workout in hopes of yielding X result. That's a methodology, right? Linear training is a methodology. Like, there's all these, like Jim Jones, these methodologies, these things. But what we're trying to do is understand that you're asking a question based on methodology. Like, you're saying, hey, what's the dose? What's the percentage? What does it mean? And we're saying, well, in the training, you're going to discover what you need. And that's the secret sauce right there. It's hard to explain, you know, like, hopefully Stu, go take it away, because I'm stammering here a bit, because it's like, We don't know where you're going unless you're in the training. We don't know how much more you got to do until you're in the training. We don't know how much more mental toughness you might need in as perceived by us as coaches until you're in the training.
Right. And when we say in the training, we mean preparing for the actual
weeks and months
training
and year. Yes. Yeah. Like months and months, lifestyle type stuff. Yeah.
Well, first time when I saw this question, I looked at it as like, man, that's three different questions.
Yeah.
Altogether. Right. So fast twitch, slow twitch, you know what? It doesn't matter because you're not going to change them anyway. You know, you're born with a certain amount of fast twitch, slow twitch. Yes. You can make some change a little bit, but it's, you know, more from take a strength fiber, make it more strength endurance fiber. You know, we don't really need to get into the physics, physiology.
That's a very simple answer to the physiology side. It's like, listen, like, because you guys are not training to be defensive backs or sprinters or like where it's the specificity of that sport determined, right, is very specific. Like, you guys are not specific athletes. You guys are like decathletes where you got to do everything quite well, right? Yeah. You got to have good energy. So my point is like, when you're talking specific muscle fibers, you can talk specificity of, hey, this person is really built to be a shot putter. Hey, this person is really built to be a marathoner. This person can throw the javelin like that. You know, this person's a long jumper, right? That's specific. But there are no specific performance things. Because if you take anything out of Buds, SF, you take any one evolution out of it, that single evolution would be considered practice in another sport.
Right.
Right. It'd be like, okay, now we can say, well, Jeff, what about obstacle courses? That's a strength endurance evolution. And it's kind of its own little game. But like, if you're going to do log PT, that is an anaerobic event. That is an upper body anaerobic event. So that's specific. But as a whole, training in the job is not specific. So that's why we don't need to get into that. Like, you need to be type 1A muscle fiber or type 2A, type 2B or this. It's like, no, you kind of got to have them all. And that's right. Why I'm saying train like a decathlete.
Yeah, you made a really good point there when he says, you know, you're built like a shot putter. You know, I haven't seen anybody built like a Bud student.
Right,
you
know, right.
You will see a wide variety of heights and weights and widths and lengths of people and athletic histories. And, you know, so let me just kind of answer this question. I don't think your fast twitch, slow twitch matter. So let's push that to the side. Is it 90% mental, 10% physical? No, it's 100% of both. I mean, you got
to try to separate the two is setting yourself up for emotional failure, I think.
And absolutely. Failure. Absolutely. It's 100% of both. And what I mean by that is, yes, it's very physical. Everybody who goes there needs to be physically prepared and durable to handle the daily stress. But there's going to be that moment when it is 100% mental. And what I mean by that is you're going to have that moment when you're cold, you're wet, you're tired, you got sand all over you, and the day has just turned into the evening and there's no end in sight. And there's that little moment there where you have to have an answer to that little part in your brain that's saying, what the hell is going on here? Why am I here? How much longer of this can I take? Right. Yeah. And you got to somewhere find the fuel when the tank is empty. And that's where the magic happens. That is the test. That is the mental test right there.
Right.
You know, because if you don't have an answer for that, you're done.
Yep. And so Stu just set this big old beach ball up on a baseball tee for me to hit the hell out of, right? That's what people say, mental toughness. Mental toughness is achieved in that. Well, how do we duplicate wet, cold, and sandy? Well, we do it by following proper training protocols on a daily basis. That can be a real emotional drain, right? Day in and day out of knowing, like, this is really unsexy training that I got to do for the next 6 to 8 months. Knowing that I can trust in Stu, I can trust in Jeff, that if I follow their process they're laying out for me, it's super arduous. It's super tough. It's a bit boring for many, right? It's super unsexy. And so that day in and day out, not only going, well, I'm enduring this. No, no, I'm enduring this, and I'm following the training protocol set forth to the best of my ability. That's mental. That is how you're doing something difficult every single day, trying to do it to your best ability. That for me is developing mental toughness. You know, like that, it's like you don't establish or develop mental toughness in a single acute environment. Most people don't have to, right? Most of us devalue, unfortunately, or it's been devalued that getting up every day roughly the same time, doing the little things, like going hit training every single, and even more so, like, hey, I know I need to train, but I really know I need to take this day off. Taking that day off is probably as hard as anything else too.
Oh yeah.
So it's like mental toughness doesn't acquire it in a week. When we're saying, hey, here's your 18-month training program, follow that 18-month or year, whatever it is, training program vigilantly without deviation and doing it as best as you can. That's how you mentally prepare for when you show up at Buds and you're like, man, I'm only 3 weeks into this thing. Holy crap. Well, I've already done this for 10 more months and Buds is only another, you know, 5 months long. I can do this. Absolutely. You can. Absolutely. You guys can. And that's what we're trying to do, is set you guys up for success at the beginning. Understanding that here's the deal, man. Like, even if we came up this perfect, you need to be 30% type 2A, 40% type. What are you going to do? You're going to go get a biopsy, right? Which you'd have to do. You have to literally go get muscle fiber cut out of your muscle. They would biopsy it and see what type of muscle fiber you are and are developing. That seems really ridiculous. So what we're saying is, okay, Jeff, Stu, have a very good understanding of what it takes physically to get through Buds. And that's working on these energy systems, which is exactly why Stu and I write our programs the way we do. So you don't have to say, what's the muscle fiber type? We say, we got you covered in the way nerd end, and I'm a total nerd. We don't have to talk type 2A muscle fibers, because the training we're doing or having you guys do in the order in which we're saying do it this way is developing the muscle fibers that you're going to need anyway. So you don't have to ask. I get the question comes from, but we've got this covered. I promise you, we've got it covered.
Yeah, mental toughness is one of those things that, like you said, it's spoon-fed every day.
Yep.
You know, it's just one little thing. And you'll find little magic moments. Like, you know, when you don't want to get up out of bed at 5:30 in the morning, because you're probably the most comfortable you've ever been right there. And you get up anyway and you go train. That is one of those little spoonfuls of mental toughness that you just added to your backpack that you can carry along with you for the rest of your life. You know, jumping into a pool when it's cold outside, and just so many more little things that just are uncomfortable.
And because what, and this is where I can say objectively, you can look back and go, oh man, it has gotten better for me. Follow a really good regimented program and lifestyle choices for 6 months, you know, eat right, train right, sleep right, in the way, in the context of what Stu and I have been saying all these years, just do that. And then look back at the last 6 months and you'll go, wow, like, I'm more alert. I have higher, more energy. My training value is better. All these things, you look back and go, what happened? I got better. Yeah. But you know what you also have achieved? A higher ability to digest stress emotionally. Like, you've got your mental toughness in those processes, in those daily processes. So again, there is not like a sink, because here's the thing, because a lot of times that answer to me is shrouded in this, like, if you do these three things, you'll be mentally tough. It's like, no, like, because it's really, really unsexy for us to go, you know what, if you just do the basic things right for 6 to 8 months, you'll be extraordinarily mentally tough. That doesn't sell books.
No.
That doesn't sell podcasts. And that certainly doesn't sell anything in this market where everything is smoke and mirrors and bright shiny lights. Do the really unsexy stuff for 6 to 8 months and you'll be great.
Yeah, that is a perfect way to kind of close that topic up, because it is just one of those things that it grows with you, and you'll find that as you start to see these improvements, probably the biggest change in yourself will be just the added confidence that you have. And that confidence goes a long ways. Now it can go to an overconfident side, which we've seen that show up at Buds. And I'd say probably the two issues that can screw you the most, you know, in any selection program is one, being overconfident, and two, being underconfident. You need to have that perfect right in the middle, you know, humble, confident phase of your training, and not let it go to your head that, hey, you made it to Buds. Now you just got to make it through Buds. In fact, we had a good comment here, Jeff. Somebody goes, Midge goes, can you talk about the idea, if you can make it to Buds, you can make it through Buds? What do you think of that?
That's a real thing because here's why. The context under which someone may not make it through a selection program, if we just like oversimplify this a little bit, go, why would someone not make it through? They didn't show up physically prepared, but typically it's not going to happen anyway, when we do the screening. So we're talking physical preparation. You're not physically prepared. Okay. So you don't make it through. The other one is you are physically prepared, but you decide to quit for whatever reason. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or you potentially been injured. Okay. Those are kind of the only reasons why you're not going to make it through truly. So if we look at it, that's why you don't make it through. Okay, what can we not control, right? We don't control exactly the timeline between seeing your recruiter to seeing going to Great Lakes to getting to Buds. We're not control that, so we're not going to even talk about that. But what can we control? What Stu and I've said from the beginning: choose a good timeline that meet up with your goals. That's the first big one, right? Don't say, "Well, I'm going to go to Buds in 3 months," and you're 2 months from being prepared. Right? Don't let ego drive your timeline. And so I, again, kind of going back to this, like, okay, well, what is the secret sauce? What is the secret sauce? It's like, well, there's not really a secret sauce except for the preparation. And it's like, well, which one's better? Which one, like, doesn't matter, like, necessarily Stu or I or whatever. It just, because what we're talking about, again, step number two is don't go see a recruiter until you're ready.
Yeah.
So those two answers, I think, for me, kind of lend you into the answer of that a little bit, is like, oh, it really is about preparation. And in the preparation, we're not talking just physical. We are talking that the proper physical training yields good emotional training. So I kind of skirted around it a little bit, but I still always go back to, well, a lot of these questions will answer themselves if you set up a good timeline, follow a good training program, and you're patient with it.
Yeah, you know, to answer Midge and close that one up, you know, yes, if you can make it to Buds, you are physically capable of making it through Buds. But, you know, obviously there's a lot more to it than just the physical. You know, you really have to want to do a job on the other side of that training so much that you're able to handle the grind that is selection. That is Buds, and just get comfortable being uncomfortable. I mean, there's so much to it that, you know, it's almost like there's so much to discuss in what you have to endure that it almost doesn't matter how much you have to endure. You just have to endure,
right. You know, and I find a lot of comfort. I find a lot of comfort in the fact that, you know, 18,000 people before me, 16,000 people now, 20,000 people now have done this.
Not impossible.
And so I look at it and I go, what really, there's one absolute common thread for everyone that's passed. Well, they passed their PST. That's the only common thread. That is the only one. Also, the people that failed, that's still the equal common thread. So that's why we're saying is, we know that that's enough validation statistically. Getting prepared for Buds is plenty, right? Unless you somehow kind of like, you know, show up overtrained, undertrained, whatever, then there's timelines that screw that up now. Now it's, the training now doesn't necessarily screw that up. It's more like those timelines that you don't have control of, from like boot camp to, you know, to Great Lakes to Buds, and those timelines are just because there's a lot of people. But the training, you know, I inherently believe this, like I really do. And that's it's a social aspect that Stu and I were given really unbeknownst to us. I don't know why I was given the emotional tools to handle this in the past. I'm not sure why. It doesn't matter why, because when I look at the why, I just go, oh no, I fully prepared. Like that, it doesn't matter why I wanted to do it in as much as like for as it pertains to you guys, because it's me. But as it pertains to you all, I believe this outside of crazy injury or just strange, unfortunate birth defects, I really inherently believe everyone can get prepared for this, any of these selection periods, provided they don't have like some really catastrophic life choices young and they're morbidly obese and they're 22 and 400 pounds. Timeline might change a little bit. Yeah. I really believe everyone can get physically ready for this. I do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to be an athlete to be in shape. You don't have to be an athlete to be in really good shape.
No.
And, you know, like spec ops level shape. You know, but my biggest thing is, yes, you can get two buds, but still have unexposed weaknesses. And I think you have to have some bit of foresight and maturity to understand, okay, I made it through this PST. That's got me two buds, but it's not going to get me through buds, right? There's some other specifics you need to understand. And nowadays, everybody knows every day of what you're going to do. You got 4-mile timed runs. You got 2-mile swims. You got obstacle courses. Yep. You know, so many other things. You got logs that you have to prepare for and boats on your heads that, you know, require some level of durability, right? So, I mean, yes, in a way, getting to it, you're going to have to endure a lot to get through it, especially if you have some unexposed weaknesses that get exposed during that first phase section, or even the more tactical, you know, events when you're learning a skill for the first time and you have to, you know, it's a steep learning curve of being able to replicate that skill, you know, proficiently.
Right.
That gets a lot of people too, whether you're diving, you're shooting, you're land navigating, you know, whatever that is.
Right.
But yeah, so that's a great question. Here's a fun one, Jeff, from Siski. Despite having different methodologies, how do you two get along so well?
Huh. Well, I think this is, I can sum it up from this standpoint, is that let's look at all of you, like that are listening and potentially listening to this, all of you will say, all of us, includes Stu and I, we're all looking at kind of one or two subjects, topics. We're looking at buds and prep or whatever prep. So I say that and like, okay, but each one of us, every single one of us has a different perspective on the exact same topic. So now you take Stu and I that have had years in the teams and years of coaching and teaching experience. It would be very ignorant to think that he and I would have the same life experiences to achieve the same perspective. It's like saying, I'm getting off on tangent a little bit, but it's like when you lump people in a group, like for example, like you say, hear us often, you say like, you're talking about a religious sect and you go, yeah, the Jews, this back in the biblical time is like, do you think all of the Jews looked at have the same exact perspective? Or, it's just as an example, right? Or Catholics, whatever it may be.
Right.
And so I just want you guys to look at and go, given these multitude of life experiences focused on one object, which is buds, that's Stu and I, we still have very different perspectives. And for me to go, well, Stu's perspective is stupid, that'd be very ignorant of me. Because ultimately, when I'm looking at what Stu is doing and what I'm doing, I'm just trying to get everyone like Stu, not based in methodology. We're trying to teach you all what will last you guys to, through, and after buds or selection. Like, yeah. This isn't about a methodology. This is about lifestyle. This is about doing the best you can to your physical body. That is why Stu and I get along so well, because this isn't about, hey, this is the only program that you follow and his is contrary or contradictory. It's all the same. It's just from a different perspective.
Yeah, and you know, I tend to focus a certain way on, you know, endurance and, you know, muscle stamina. Jeff has coming in from a strength foundation. But, you know, here's the cool thing about what I did. Whenever I said, hey, Jeff, I'm starting this new podcast. You want to do it with me? I knew Jeff to be one of the smartest people out there. You know, it is stupid of me to, you know, not bring him on, right, and say, hey, let's do this tactical fitness report. It'd be our show. And, you know, but, you know, it's plus, you know, we have similar backgrounds, athletics, special ops. He stayed in longer than I did and did a lot more cooler stuff than I did. And now we coach, right? And we're just talking about coaching. And I get some great ideas from Jeff. I mean, fantastic ideas, because I have a way to train. And I tell people all the time, it's not the way to train. And yeah, for me to think that I had the only way to train would once again be just stupid. So I have used Jeff's programming with my guys here locally. When I see something isn't working for them, you know, I'll just stop them and say, you know what? You probably need to do Jeff's hypertrophy program right now, because nothing right now is working for you. Or yep, you need to do this real quick running program that Jeff has, because what we're doing right now is not going to make you faster. Mm-hmm. Right. So, because I tend to have the system that I do, you know, annually, you know, and people fall into that system, and I can, you know, make it move blocks here left and right to make it fit them. But sometimes, you know, my programming of that day or that week or that month isn't necessarily what that person needs. And Jeff has, may have the answer. Maybe another person has the answer. You know, I think as a coach, you have to know that. And besides, yes, we have two fitness businesses that focus on tactical athletes, but you know what? It's a big world of fitness out there.
A lot. You know,
for me to try to be a monopoly would, you know, it's just be a waste
of
time.
It's like being the president of the United States. What an awful job that would be. You know, in that sense of like, now it's not political, but I like,
yeah,
like, cause from the ego, my ego is like, man, why I could train everyone, you know, and that, yeah, what a terrible thing that would be if I got that all one day. It's like, all right, every single person in the United States that's is in the tactical space is listening to you now, like that. No. And so this is also why what Stu and I and other guys are doing do very well, because this really matters. It matters. This matters is that, okay, the way my coaching, the way about me in which I coach tends to favor certain learning styles.
Sure.
And same with Stu. So it's like, are the people that are learning from you would they learn any worse from me? Probably not, but it just happens to be the way that you talk, the way that you coach, the way that you are, you're tending to attract some of those people. Because just look at, take coaching aside, just take personalities in your life. You attract a certain personality of friend. And it's the same thing as coach. Like, I have a way of coaching that attracts, like when I get the people around me that I coach, I'm like, I see a lot of them. I see a lot of me in them.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, yeah. And I'm certain you're the same way. It's like, I don't know what it is. It attracts a like-minded individual, and we need diversity. Like Chevy makes Ford great, better, right?
Yeah,
Stu makes it. It's like those things. You don't want a monopoly, like he says. Then you just got no saturation. You have no new ideas.
Mm, very good idea. Very good point. So anyway, we're friends. So
simple.
You know, like I said, I'm mature enough to say I don't have all the answers, you know. So sometimes hey Jeff, I got this question. You need to answer this one, because I don't know.
We just sent Catherine and I just sent you one the other day that I knew, like, I don't have any idea about that one.
Yeah. Too, yeah, yeah. We do that all the time. So all right. So let me do one more of these, Jeff. This is kind of fun. Here's a good one. John Doe needed to hear this, because boring is mentally tough. And he says, no disrespect, just needed to hear it. But he's right. You know, sometimes when I set up a workout, I make it so it is, you know, like a long pyramid workout with multiple exercises with runs in between. And it gets really repetitive. You know, when you're doing some of these higher volume calisthenic workouts, it gets repetitive. It gets boring. Yeah. Yeah. You kind of have to go to that little happy place in your head to get through these workouts. Yep. And that's a good skill to practice. You know, if you can practice, you know, good form and technique and everything, even though you're in your happy place and getting things done, you know, you will use that again. Now, you also need to be on a, in your future, you will also need to be able to not go to that happy place and still be engaged logically, creatively, because you're going to also be tired and bored and, you know, just got all kinds of stuff that's going on for just sitting for hours that you have to be fully engaged mentally, you know, with being able to think through problems and all that. So it, yes, it's Hell Week is made for going to your happy place. That is what that teaches. After that, though, you got to be fully engaged and be able to think. You can't go to your happy place and get through some tactical decision-making process.
No, and that's what we're talking about, stress inoculation is, right? That's essentially what Stu's talking. It's like, if you haven't read Colonel David Grossman's book on combat or on killing, you should. Mm-hmm. Both of them you should probably read. I know you've read both. This is to the audience. So yep. The thing is, what Stu is doing, saying, and what you guys are doing is training with veracity, with intent, creates a very specific emotional state, i.e. like you're tired but focused. That is a state in which you are doing regularly when you're doing calisthenics, resistance work, whatever it is. So think about that. It's like, okay, in those states of emotional distress with physical output, we as coaches are asking you to make decisions. Hey, do this properly. Do this many reps. Do it in this order. Like, there are some instructions embedded in that. That is technically, literally, how you objectively develop what we call in the mental toughness world, like the actual physiology world, is resiliency. You develop emotional and physical resiliency by creating physical states of duress and make good decisions in that state of duress, i.e. reps and sets, good technique, changing from circuit work. You're making them make decisions in a state of duress. That is how you develop mental toughness, or in the clinical world, we call it mental or emotional resiliency. So that's why we're Stu and I, goes back to the first question. It's like, we're not talking fast twitch, slow twitch. We're talking, hey guys, we really are talking fast twitch, slow twitch. We are talking mental toughness. We're talking all of these things that you get almost unknowingly by training properly, regularly, following a good program that Stu and I talk about.
Yes. Very good point, because it all flows. You know, it's all going to flow in that direction and you don't even realize it. I mean, when I was training, we didn't say anything. We didn't talk about mental toughness. You know,
it was assumed, right? Hey, you got to, it's this thing we talk about now that before you're like, of course you need to be mentally tough and you do it by doing this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. But somebody did ask, is it related to confidence? Absolutely. You know, confidence, you know, you through these training programs day after day after day, you get a little bit more mentally tough, you build your confidence, and that spills over into multiple areas of your life, not just fitness world and tactical world, but also personal relationships, work relationships, just work ethic. All of that gets expanded by starting and maintaining your training and building those good habits.
You bet. Agreed.
All right. Let's see. Let me see if there's anything else here. What do you recommend? Cameron here asked about implementing firearms training before you ship.
I wouldn't personally. The only time I would take a consideration to that is if you are actually being taught by someone who was a third phase pistol instructor. And this is why, because of all my years of shooting instruction and teaching, I end up teaching it for as many years as I probably, well, as an RSO and things, like, I've never met a group of instructors that taught better than the Bud's third phase instructors.
Yeah, they were good.
In terms of what is expected of you with your pistol when you're a 3-year, 5-year, 10-, 15-year SEAL, it was learned in third phase, like legitimately, like from the decock holster, all that. But I know they're using the Glocks now and things like that, but there is a system, a teaching system in place that Naval Social Warfare follows. Seriously, you know, you might want to do a familiarization with the firearm, but not in the sense of like, well, I'm going to draw and pistol shoot.
No.
Unless you've been shooting your whole life, fine. But this is not something like from skydiving to scuba diving to pistol shooting. You might want to do it to experience it, to just like, oh, that's the pistol I'm going to be using. That's where the decock is. That's where the magazine release. Like, oh, I'm familiar with this gun. So now you show up, fine. But I wouldn't do a lot of shooting personally.
Yeah. Chances are you're going to have to relearn, you know, and get rid of bad habits. And that's probably harder than just learning from scratch. You know, the one thing I did before Buds that I think helped out was I just took a scuba course, you know, nothing fancy, just a paddy scuba course. And I think just having a regulator in my mouth, being underwater before I went out there was, I thought it was an advantage. But though there were several in my Buds class that their first time putting a regulator in their mouth was, you know, a couple weeks before pool comp.
That was mine. Mine. Yeah.
Which is,
I spent so much time in the water. It was like, okay, whatever. But I was like, this is way easy. I got this. I can just breathe on this thing. But that's
right.
Yeah, that was so comfortable. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a guy that in my Buds and Start Buds class that was played football at Nebraska, was a tight end in Nebraska, graduated in Nebraska, lived like for 10 years in Hawaii as a dive instructor. Showed up. It was like pretty much as a know-it-all. They dropped him in second phase. He was a dive instructor.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're like, we're not putting up with you, man. They booted.
Yeah. When you got to realize you might have a certain set of skills when you go into SEAL training. You know what? Nobody cares. And you just need to be, I tell people all the time that you got two modes, you know, like on a radio, you can transmit or you can receive. Just be in receive mode.
Yeah.
Right. Just take it in and learn it.
Yeah, man. Cause I'm telling you right now, no matter what your experience, especially when it comes to diving, you're going to have master divers in there that have been diving for 30 years. This is not the place to go. Well, this is how I recreationally dive in Hawaii. It's not the place for that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's a completely different diving world. In fact, I have a new set of diving standards post-military diving, and that is, it has to be daylight. It has to be warm enough to where I don't need a wetsuit, and at least 50-foot visibility.
I concur.
You know what I mean? Why dive any other way? Right.
I mean, just think about how much time you spent underwater.
On just the opposite of that.
Complete dark.
Dark, murky, cold. Yeah.
All of them, almost. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with skydiving. It's like I almost like 95% of all my jumps were at night. It's like I didn't really see a whole lot most of my jumps. So it was beautiful. I mean, I'm not at, you know, 25,000 feet at 2 o'clock in the morning, anywhere in the world, local.
Yeah, crazy.
Super quiet up there.
It's
amazing. Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That's cool stuff. But anyway, hey, Jeff, thanks for doing this, guys. I know you asked some questions. Sorry we couldn't get to all of them. This is our first time trying to do this live. I think it added some extra good questions that were relatable to our original question. So I appreciate you guys asking questions. If we didn't get to them, just post them in the comment section, or you can email us, try to get to them. If it's a little more personal, you don't feel like posting it, you know, try to get to those as well. But check out Jeff's website, performancefirstus.com. My website, stusmithfitness.com. And come back again. Awesome. Yeah.
We'll do it again. Yeah. Appreciate it, guys. Appreciate it, Sue.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.